Is the 60-40 portfolio dead? Can retirees no longer rely on what has been historically a very reliable asset allocation, 60% stocks and 40% bonds? Are we in some sort of new economy, new interest rate environment? We know we've got inflation. Has that basically put a nail in the coffin of the 60-40 portfolio? My name is Rob Berger. This is the Financial Freedom Show, and that's the topic we're going to discuss in today's video. If you like this kind of content and you are new to the channel, we encourage you to subscribe. We talk about investing, particularly from the perspective of retirement. Also send out a weekly newsletter. You can subscribe to that with a link below this video. So I want to dive right in. Here's what we're going to do. The first thing is we're going to talk about why all the fuss over the 60-40 portfolio. Have you noticed no one's writing about is the 70-30 portfolio dead or the 80-20 portfolio? Everyone seems to be obsessed with 60% stocks, 40% bonds. We're going to talk about why. Then we're going to look at the performance this year and try to put it into some context. Then we're going to talk about the future of the 60-40 portfolio. Should we be concerned, particularly for those in retirement? And then we're going to talk about maybe some tweaks you can make to the 60-40 portfolio if you're interested in doing this that could, in theory, help the portfolio perhaps perform a little better. So let's jump right into it. And I want to start with this article. This is from the Wall Street Journal. We've got a retired couple here with a very scary headline. The classic 60-40 investment strategy falls apart. There's no place to hide. I really dislike that. What I really think is just a clickbait title, but it's not at all uncommon. I've seen it in many instances across the internet. And we're going to talk about why I don't think we have that much to worry about. But I do get that it's a serious question. And that raises then the big question, what's so special about the 60-40 portfolio? Why is that getting all of our attention? And I want to show you that as well. So let's jump over to Portfolio Visualizer. I've put in a 60-40 portfolio. At the moment, we're just using the entire U.S. stock market. That's 60% intermediate term treasuries because we have more data on that for the 40. And then we're going to compare it to just a 100% U.S. stock portfolio. And the question becomes, how do these two perform? And at first, particularly this is over 50 years, I think a lot of folks think the performance of the 100% stock portfolio will be significantly greater, several percentage points greater than a 60-40 portfolio. And you can see the time period here from 72 to 20 to the current year, October. But when you look at the compound annual growth rate, the difference isn't as much as you might think. The 60-40 portfolio generated a little over 9%, and the 100% stock portfolio a little over 10%. Now, when you multiply that over 50 years, the difference in numbers gets pretty significant. And that's actually one of the reasons why, for younger folks who have decades to go before retirement, a more stock-heavy portfolio than 60-40 probably makes sense. But once you get into retirement, as we know, it's not just about the return, it's also about volatility because of what's called sequence of returns risk. It's harder for retirees to handle significant volatility, particularly in the early years of retirement. It can really wreck a retirement financially. And we can see that here with the standard deviation, which is a measure of volatility, with a 100% stock portfolio, it's averaged almost 16%. And with the 60-40 portfolio, less than 10. And so the idea behind a 60-40 portfolio is that you get most of the return, not all of it, but most of the return of a 100% stock portfolio, but with substantially less volatility. And that's why it's really become a very popular portfolio for retirees over, you know, many decades. And in fact, using the 4% rule, which I think, you know, is not necessarily the best approach in retirement, but as a rule of thumb, I think it's a good place to start. The 60-40 portfolio fits squarely within the 4% rule. It's the kind of portfolio that Bill Bingen has talked about in the past, the father of the 4% rule. And again, it's not the only reasonable choice in retirement and not the only allocation that works with the 4% rule, but it's kind of right in the square, almost in the middle of the types of allocations that work for the 4% rule. And so I think that's why the 60-40 portfolio gets a lot of attention. And because of its reduced risk compared to a 100% stock portfolio, when it's down for the year, that's kind of big news, which kind of gets us to the sort of second thing we want to talk about today. And that is, well, how did it perform this year? So we're going to go back to Portfolio Visualizer. And what I've done here, the same setup, but I'm just looking at this year. And we can look and see a couple of things. First of all, with the assumptions that I have in there, it's lost 16%. Now, we'll talk about this, but when you look at other articles, they may have a different number, because keep in mind, there are different ways to construct a 60% stock and 40% bond portfolio. You can use different funds, you can use REITs, you can use small cap, you can use international or not, and so on. But using just a total US market and intermediate term treasury, it's down 16%. Yes, stocks are down a little bit more, but boy, that's pretty close. In this case, what we normally expect when stocks are down are for the bonds to at least help us a little bit. It may not make our overall return positive, depending on just how bad stocks are performing in a given year, but we kind of expect that when stocks zig, we want the bonds to zag. And that just didn't happen this year. And the standard deviation, while significantly lower for the 60-40 portfolios compared to all stocks, is still quite a bit higher than what we just looked at. It was just under 10% historically over the last five decades. This year, up quite a bit more. And that raises the question, okay, so things are bad this year. They're kind of bad just about everywhere in terms of investments. How do we put this into a historical context? And let me show you that. This is an article on the Wealth of Common Sense blog that I follow. And again, it could be slightly different asset classes, but he's tracked the 60-40 portfolio. And you'll notice the worst years are actually worse than what we've experienced so far in 2022. Assuming the negative 16% return we looked at, it would put this at number three. Not a lot of fun, but here's the real big takeaway. Not the worst year the 60-40 portfolio has ever had. And in these bad years, the 4% rule over, you know, say a 30-year retirement survived. In fact, the worst time to retire using the 4% rule was not back in the 30s. It was actually back in the late 60s. But the other thing to note here is when we look at these, we'll look at these first three, 1931, 37, and 74. For you stock historians, stock market historians, you know that those were extremely bad years for the stock market. 31 was part of the 3 years that were just devastating, 29, 30, and 31. 37 was part of the late 1930s. There were a couple of years that were really bad. And 74 was the tail end of the 73-74 period that were really bad. You can see it over here. He discusses that. The bear market of 73-74 were really bad. The point is, these were really bad for stocks. And that was really what drove the overall 60-40 portfolio lower in those years. In 2022, it was like we got a 1-2 punch. Stocks have been bad, as we know, but bonds haven't helped us either. They've been bad. And that kind of raises a big question for 2022. Why have bonds been so bad? And I want to go back for a minute to this first portfolio visualizer analysis that I showed you that goes back to 1972. When we look, what we're going to actually do just to see the difference, we're going to compare 100% bonds to 100% stocks for just a moment. And so and if we come down to the graph, we can look at this. The red bars are the stock market, and the blue bars are intermediate term treasuries. And I want to go back to the 73-74 time period. You can see stocks are way down, but I'll move this away so you can see it. The blue bars are actually positive. Bonds were actually up these years, at least on a nominal basis, before factoring in inflation. And if you're old enough to remember, as I am, 73 or the 70s into the early 80s were terrible times for high inflation, much longer, of course, than we've had now, and much, much higher interest rates. But look at the blue bars across the 70s. They're all on a nominal basis positive. There's no negative years there. In fact, the first negative year comes up not until 1994. And it raises the question, well, if interest rates were worse in the 70s, inflation was worse and for a much, much longer time period, why were bonds on a nominal basis up that year? Look at the current year, 2022, we can see the blue bar over here, obviously negative. And I think there might be a number of reasons for it, but I think the keys are this. Bond interest rates this year started, they began with a one. I mean, they were under 2%. In the 70s, they weren't that low to begin with. They were, depending on exactly when you measure it, say 6 to maybe even as high as an 8% yield. And they kind of went up from there. And when you start at a yield of, say, 1% and then start to move up, the losses are bigger for a bond, most bonds, than if you started, say, at 6% and moved up, even if the move up was by the same amount. Also, when you start with those higher yields, you're getting higher yields throughout that time period, which at least over time can help fill some of the losses that occur when the value of bonds go down because of the rising rates. And so in some ways, I think 2022 was a perfect storm for the 60-40 portfolio, and frankly, for stocks and bonds in general, because of that. We started with rock bottom interest rates or yields. As they went up and went up significantly and quickly, it pummeled both bonds, probably in the most extreme way possible, and of course, stocks as well. And that raises the question, well then, what's the future look like? Is this some sort of new economic environment and now the 60-40 portfolio or even some other portfolio is just is broken? I don't think so. And I'd like to show you a couple of things and talk about why. If we go back to this portfolio visualizer analysis, remember we started at 2022. Let's just go back to 2019. One of the problems that I think a lot of the news media has is they get super focused on the performance on a year-by-year basis. And I get that. I think we probably all do that. But the reality is there's nothing special about a single year's worth of performance. And even for retirees, you know, if with a traditional retirement, you're looking at 30 years perhaps or more. And so I think we need to avoid trying to get too focused with 1 year. Frankly, this time period is not very long at all, but I want to show you, if we just go back to 2019 and measure through, this is October, so last month, we can see the 60-40 portfolio right here, 8%. That's been the compound annual growth rate, perfectly reasonable in line with what we would expect. And of course, we could go back further, maybe drop back a decade, maybe to 2012, and analyze the portfolio, we're still at about 8%. So I think even over relatively short recent history, the 60-40 portfolio has done just well. And that raises the question though, okay, well, that's fine, but what about the future? And here's the reality. As difficult as 2022 has been, we're actually in a better position going forward with the 60-40 portfolio than we were at the start of the year. Why? Two reasons. Stock valuations are lower, which is actually going to increase the expected returns going forward. Now, I'm not suggesting they can't go lower, and I'm not suggesting that from here forward, it's just going to be, you know, an easy time in the stock market. But they are cheaper significantly today than they were at the beginning of the year. And bond yields are higher, meaning prices are lower. So this is actually, we're actually in a better position moving forward with the 60-40 portfolio than we were a year ago. And then the last thing I'll say on this point is it's survived much worse than this, particularly when we think about the 60-40 portfolio in terms of the 4% rule or some other withdrawal strategy and the likelihood that we can, you know, properly finance our retirement. We looked at other years that were worse in terms of the 60-40 portfolio, like 31 and 37. They survived the 4% rule. We looked at the 74 bear market that year. It survived the 4% rule. So the 4% rule and just generally funding retirement and generally even using other retirement withdrawal strategies have survived times that have been worse than 2022 and have been much more prolonged. Of course, we'll see what the future holds. So to me, what's happened in 2022 doesn't suggest at all that the 60-40 portfolio is broken. The reality is you live, you know, through enough decades, and you're going to have years like this, and we could even experience worse years. That's just the way the markets work. Now, the last thing I want to mention is the construction of a 60-40 portfolio. We've been looking specifically at using total U.S. market and intermediate treasury, but those aren't the only combinations. And I'll show you an example. We could go back to this one and we could say, you know, instead of the 60-40 portfolio, let me put that back in, we'll add small cap value, which is a very common asset class to tilt your portfolio a little bit. Of course, how much you tilt to that is a big question, but we'll tilt 20%. What I mean by that is we'll simply take 20% out of the total U.S. market, leave it with 40, put 40 in the treasuries, and then 20% in small cap value. And when you analyze this kind of portfolio, you can see, you may not recall, but that actually increases the compound annual growth rate. It's about 50 or 60 basis points. It slightly increased the volatility, although not by a lot. And so the point is, you can adjust a 60-40 portfolio in a lot of different ways. We could also do this analysis. Maybe we just do 10% in small cap value, but then we add 10% into REITs. And we can see if we do that, it brings it down quite a bit, actually. So maybe that's not the way to go long term, although I do like REITs generally. The point is, and this only goes back to 94 because of the limits on the REIT data, the point is there's more than one way to build a 60-40 portfolio. The other thing we can do is, instead of all 40% in an intermediate term treasury or even intermediate term total U.S. bond market fund, we could add some amount, I would keep it small, to treasury bills. I probably wouldn't go over more than about 5%, but we can also add some exposure to TIPS. Now, TIPS are sensitive to interest rates, particularly in the short term, we know that, but long term, they do protect the investment from the ravages of inflation. And so we can adjust the 60-40 portfolio to give it even a little bit more diversification, maybe tilt it towards small cap. I even still like tilting it towards REITs over the since 1994, at least in that one time period that we looked at, probably not the best result. But I do like REITs as one way to tilt a portfolio. So there you go. I think the 60-40 portfolio is as solid today as it's ever been for retirees. I certainly don't think it's the only reasonable portfolio, but absolutely nothing has happened in 2022, at least for me, to change my view on the 60-40 portfolio. Hope you've found this video useful. If you have any questions, leave them in the comments below, and I'll be happy to help you out any way I can. Until next time, remember, the best thing money can buy is financial freedom.